Hello, good morning and good afternoon. I would like to welcome you today to Nakilat's 2018 results conference call. It's hosted by EFG Hermes and co-hosted by QNB Financial Services. We'd like to welcome with us on the call Mr. Hani Aboukir and Mr. Fotios Zritis. With that, we leave the call to Mr. Fotios for the introductory statement. Mr. Fotios, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining Nakilat's fourth quarter 2018 conference call. For your convenience, this transcript of this call and presentation will be available on Nakilat's website. Please now turn to the slide 2 of the presentation. Many of our remarks contain forward-looking statements, and page 3 has the table of contents of the entire presentation. At the page 4, you can see the glossary of our presentation. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures, such as EBITDA. A reconciliation of this is included in the notes of this presentation. Now, I would like to hand over to Mr. Hani Aboukir, CFO of Nakilat.
Thank you, Fotios. Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining us today on our fourth quarter earning results. I will begin the call with the financial highlights for the fiscal year 2018. Afterward, Fotios will update you on the LNG shipping outlook, and then I will take you through our business outlook for the 2019, and then we're going to open the floor for you for a question and answers. Now, turning to slide number 6 and 7, we can see that this has been a successful year for Nakilat in terms of executing our strategy, which has resulted in growth of our portfolio and achieving efficiency. Nakilat proven track record. I'm confident that we can continue to grow further our LNG fleet and with a high quality charterers and counterparties. Following a strong operating performance and continued fleet growth, today I'm delighted to report our great annual company performance, which has resulted for EBITDA, net profit, and continuous cash dividend distribution since for the last almost 9 years. And on Sunday, the Board of Directors has recommended a cash dividend of 1 riyal per share. As a result of the meeting our balanced growth strategy for this year. I will take you through the our financial performance. Our profitability has increased by 5.3% on an annual basis, and due to the acquisition, mainly due to the acquisition of two LNG carriers and one FSRU. And if we exclude the 2017 one-off item, which was available for sale investments that we sold our portfolio in Qatar Exchange, our normalized 2018 profit is higher by 14%. Other factors has contributed to this higher profitability were higher shipyard activities. This year has been a very successful year for Nakilat in 2018. With the workload that we have seen in our shipyard activities, which is translated to a good results for us. Also, lower operating expense and increased interest income from bank deposits and dividends received from shares listed on Qatar Exchange. Operationally, our total expenses are slightly decreased in 2018 by 1% compared to 2017. And this is mainly due to Nakilat's efforts, continuous effort for cost optimization and ensure that we employing efficiencies in every element within our operating model. Our total operating expense decreased by 2.7% year over year. If I turn to slide 8, we see a strong, healthy balance sheet with the cash and bank balances stood at almost 2.5 billion Qatari riyal, as well as total assets at 29.6 billion. The investment in joint venture increased mainly due to the share of operating profits, hedge gain, and investment in new joint venture. Our scheduled debt amortization continue and repayment to free up our balance sheet capacity. Specifically, borrowing has reduced by almost close to 0.8 billion Qatar riyal. On slide 9, we can see that Naqilat has already reduced its borrowing by 15% over the last 5 years, while at the same time we have acquired additional 11 LNG carriers and one FSRU. Now, let me hand back to Fotios to take you through our overview of LNG shipping market. So, Fotios, if you can please take it.
Yes. There. Thank you, Hani. Now, guys, I will take you through the LNG shipping overview. If you turn to the slide 11, it shows clearly the fundamental improvement of LNG shipping market. The final quarter of 2018 for LNG shipping was characterized by both record high charter rates and volatility. During October and November of 2018, the market witnessed an extreme spike in charter rates within a range from $130,000 to $175,000 per day, due to the shortage of tonnage. In the fourth quarter of 2018, LNG shipping spot market significantly improved with average charter rates for the second generation LNG shipping carriers, DFDs, reached at approximately $146,000 per day, in comparison with around $65,500 per day in the fourth quarter of 2017. This exactly translates to an impressive increase of 125%. With the same upward trend, the first generation LNG carriers steams increased by 105%, specifically from $40,000 per day in the fourth quarter of 2017, increased to $82,000 per day this quarter. We should mention that the current spot market rate improvement is driven by many different factors. However, the main factor is an impressive increase of Chinese LNG demand by almost 40% year-on-year, which made China the second largest global LNG importer. Other important factors that influence of this growth of LNG is the rising global liquefaction capacity and the higher global average ton-mile demand, which implies a larger shipping tonnage requirement. On the LNG shipping supply, we observe that the total incremental LNG fleet growth reached at approximately 10% in terms of number of ships. If you turn now on the page 12, you can see that there are 480 vessels in operations and 107 vessels on order book, which implies an increase of 22% of total LNG fleet in terms of number of ships as December of 2018. I should mention here that the average age of LNG fleet is relatively young, approximately 10 years old, and only 5% is older than 35 years old. The promising fundamentals of LNG shipping market has boosted the confidence of LNG ship owners, and as a result of this, the new build activity has impressively increased from 13 new build contracts in 2017 to 65 new build contracts in 2018. This is actually very impressive. During the fourth quarter of 2018, it is worth mentioning that 90% of LNG fleet is chartered for longer than 3 years. The 6% of the charter fleet is from 6 months to 3 years chartered, and only 4% of the LNG fleet is on the spot market. Now, if you turn to the slide 13, you will see that the LNG shipping market balance is expected to be much tighter by 2022, due to very high LNG production of approximately 65 million tons. Think of it that from the 65 million tons, approximately the 55-60% is coming from the U.S., which means it will add ton miles, so more tonnage. In the next 18-24 months, the LNG charter rates will be driven by increased global liquefaction capacity, U.S. LNG exports, and high LNG demand from Asia. In the short term, however, the LNG shipping market is expected to experience a seasonal softness, but overall, it is still much tighter than the previous year. As a final note of the LNG shipping market, both an ongoing progress of new liquefaction plants and an increased LNG demand should result in a strong fundamentals for LNG shipping, which could be translated to potentially further business opportunities for Nakilat. At this time, I would like to turn the conference call over to Hani to discuss about Nakilat's business outlook. Please, Hani, go ahead.
Thanks again, Fotios. Okay, on presentation on slide 15, I will take you through that our outlook for 2019. Nakilat is committed to meet its strategic goals, and as the world's largest LNG shipping company with current strong LNG shipping industry fundamentals, we sometimes think of it as the perfect storm for us. Nakilat is very well placed to be in a very favorable strategic position to secure potential future business opportunities to expand its LNG portfolio. Also, we have a great confidence that the momentum to continue in a higher utilization of our shipyard facilities, given with what's going on with a lot of maritime initiatives through the IMO and the requirements and the dry dock activities, and plus the usage of the ports after the blockade over the last year and a half. In addition, what we have seen about potential offshore projects with us signing as well with McDermott USA yesterday and during Tawtin initiative. In addition, we continue to be focused on our business portfolio in terms of strategically balanced growth and diversification. The stronger, again, LNG shipping market that Fotios talked about improves the sentiment of owners and creates an attractive investment opportunity for us and to anyone who's in the LNG shipping to capture the new business opportunities. And finally, with a strong LNG shipping market, we anticipate the coming years and we, with a continuation of execution of our strategy, will shall give us an enhanced scope for rate of return to our shareholders and for us to maintain our sustainable dividend payout. With that, I think I will ask Ahmed or the operator to open the floor for questions and answers. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Annie and Mr. Fotios. With that, we'd like to open up the room for the Q&A session. Please, Tracy, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We will now take our first question from Bobby Sharker from QNB Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Bobby Sharker. Hi, Ani. Hi, Fotios. How are you? I have a couple of questions. First one is that could you discuss a little bit as to how the shipyard business is going, breaking it out into the the shipbuilding and the ship repair business, and how this JV with McDermott will impact that business going forward? And then secondly, if you can talk in more general terms as to what you see for Nakilat, given the significant expansion in Qatar's LNG capacity from 77 tons to 110, and how do you think Nakilat will benefit, and over what time period do you think investors should start seeing some results from this expansion? Thank you.
Okay, I will take you. I'll take the first questions, and maybe I'll leave the second one for Fotios to elaborate more. And we have in 2018 have seen an increased level of shipyard activities with significant high number of vessels compared to 2017. Part of it is due to the dry dock activities, the cycle dry dock activities for our fleet. In addition, there was a lot of compliance with international regulations that we have seen other ship owners coming and visiting our shipyards. Also, we have seen an increased workload in relation to the offshore and marine structures. And this has really contributed into a really significant higher utilization of our facility, which translated to really a good results, significantly good results in 2018. That's on the ship repair facility. On the shipbuilding, it was also a good year for us. We that was marked with the delivery of two FDV vessels. Also marked for us some of the repair for super yacht vessels during 2018. However, at ANCOM is basically where we have seen a significant shift where we are able to operate above and generate a good rate of return with the increased utilization and our ability to optimize our cost structure in a way that we really can generate a positive rate of positive return or positive P&L during 2018. In 2019, we have seen so far in January and February same momentum that we have seen in 2018. However, I cannot really elaborate more because this is a little bit sometimes a cyclical industry or cyclical sector. However, the outlook looks good for 2019 or continues to be looking good since 2018. However, 2018 was significantly a great year compared to the previous years that we had in this shipyard. In relation to McDermott, again, as you can see, and I hope one day when you guys visiting Qatar, maybe we can take you for a road trip to our world-class facility in Ras Laffan. The facility itself is really massive. It's a great, well-developed we have spent back in 2000, the state of Qatar spent back in 2010 close to 11 billion riyal to develop that facility. So naturally, when McDermott thought about an opportunity for them to start to establish their presence in Qatar, they have thought that Naqilat would be a natural partner, particularly with the facilities that we have in Ras Laffan. I think the main scope of this joint venture is going to be about fabrication services, which is basically very well-timed with the expected onshore and offshore projects to support Qatar's need in the near future. So hopefully with this partnership, we're going to complement ANCOM and the other facilities that within the shipyard. We expect to generate a good and normal rate of return. And we just signed the agreement yesterday, so I cannot really provide further guidance at the moment. However, as soon as we sign a new contract in the near future, we will elaborate more about maybe the numbers and the economics. And I'll ask Fotios to elaborate more about the second question.
Hello, Bobby. Regarding your question about Qatar LNG expansion, this is a clear decision of Qatar Petroleum and Qatar Gas. And Naqilat does not comment on behalf of them. You should understand that they have their own team and they do their own assessment exercises.
However, we would like to highlight that we have a long-term relationship and collaboration with them through our current portfolio. Nakilat is based in Doha and is the world's largest LNG shipping company. So we have provided successfully proven track records on commercial, technical, and operational shipping capabilities since 2004. You know that Nakilat's main goal is to grow internationally and diversify its clientele. However, if there is a big opportunity to support Qatar's plans and to extend our LNG shipping expertise to this opportunity, we are more than happy to be part of that. Hopefully, I cover your question.
Great, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Jonathan Milan from WAHA Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Jonathan Milan from WAHA Capital. So just a quick question, a recap on the number of vessels. So on the, I'm guessing the vessels that are leased out or that are chartered with non-Qatari companies are the ones that are used as that are under joint ventures. Can you please give us a recap of how many vessels are not operating, say, with RasGas and QatarGas, and how many, what percentage of your fleet is on spot rate? And just a follow-up to the previous gentleman's questions, Qatar plans on adding roughly 50% capacity. Will you be asked or tasked or given the opportunity to supply Qatar with the LNG vessels required to also expand that? In other words, will you be also looking to add another 20-25 Q-class vessels over the next 10 years? Thanks.
Okay, maybe I'll answer your first questions about the jointly owned vessels with the international customers. Yes, we have close to 11 vessels, which is represent almost 15% of our fleet. Our fleet is consist of 65 LNG vessels, 4 LPGs, and 1 FSRU. Most of the vessels that is chartered to international customers, we can say that they are chartered in a long term. Some of them is in a short term. So basically, you can say around 80 to 90% of our fleet is chartered in the long term, and the remaining ones, they are chartered for the LNG in the short term, which is between 2 to 3 years term. And again, your questions was about the Qatar expansion. We're not here, we leave it this one to Qatar Petroleum, and we leave it to Qatar Gas to comment on that. We don't comment on their behalf. However, as a global shipping company based on Qatar, if we are asked, or we are requested by a charterer that to lift capacity and to procure the assets, that's something we will do for them. It is up to them to decide and to announce their decision in this regard. For us, as a company, as a global LNG company that has a track record in being able to operate LNG vessels, having the largest capacity, having infrastructure, we've been there here in the business for the last 15 years with our safety tracker, track record, we are ready to serve any potential or customers locally or internationally, and we continue to look for business opportunities anywhere in the world to capture on those. And we've been very successful through our joint venture with our partners, Maran, in the past, and that's something we will continue to pursue and to look forward for.
Okay, and so for further expansions, would you rather go through jointly owned vessels, or would you go for wholly owned vessels? And what's the preference, generally?
But to be honest with you, for us, we are indifferent. We can go by ourselves. We have the capacity and the capability, or we can go with, if that's dictated. But This is something we will decide later on, but we are indifferent. We can do both if we were asked. However, we as a company, again, as I said, we have the abilities to really go and acquire our own capacity or tonnage to ship or lift cargoes for different clients around the world. That's something that is part of our 5E strategy. Hopefully next conference call, I will have a section to really present to you our next five-year strategy map, so you really understand how we think as an organization and how we see ourselves in 5 years. We are a forward-looking organization. We are now looking where we want to do and what we want to do, not 2019, but we're looking in 2020 and 21 and 22. So basically, I will try to make sure that next conference call, hopefully in April, we can do one slide that we talk about strategy map to understand what we're trying to achieve. And maybe that will address also a lot of the questions that we receive, whether we want to go through a joint venture or we want to go by ourselves. Again, we are indifferent. If we go with the joint venture, not because we have to go through the joint venture, but just actually the opportunity has came with that specific joint ventures, and we felt that this was a good opportunity for both of us, ourselves and our joint venture, to go and to acquire assets together. However, a lot of that decisions happens mutually between both of us, despite the fact if they have gone on our behalf or eventually in the future if we have to go on their behalf. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Yeah, thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Shara Kalawala from Al Aran Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gents. This is Shabir Kagalwala from Al Aran Investment. I had a couple of questions. You mentioned that there are 107 ships on the industry level in ordering. Typically, how much time does it take if you want to order to get a delivery of a ship, given the current capacity in the industry, and the ships which you construct, the fleet which you operate, what's the typical cost of a ship in current market terms?
Hello, thank you very much for your question. Generally speaking, when you want to construct a new build in South Korea, it's approximately 2.5 years to 3 years. This is the lead time that you need from the moment that you will order it until it will be delivered. So the current price of the new build has increased lately and has reached right now to $187 million. Obviously, this shows a slight. This is actually reflects the improvement of LNG shipping market, because if you remember, approximately 1 year back, it was much lower. It was approximately $180 million dollars per new build construction. Hopefully, I cover your question.
Yeah. So typically, if the capacity, I was trying to understand if you get a mandate to operate the for the additional capital to offload the load the capacity for Qatar after 2023, so you should be typically placing an order by 2020 in order to get the ships.
Try to think backwards, meaning that it depends when the production will come in the market. If the production as per the announcement will be 2024, you need to go back loads. And to think that you will need approximately 3 years. So you need to order it by 2021. This is simple mathematics.
And what will be the strategy? Will it be like you will go for a new build, or it's like acquiring from the market?
Again, we are a shipping company that based in Qatar. This is something that Qatar Gas and QP is well equipped to answer this question. We will not answer on their behalf. I think they have already announced a lot of the news over the last month, and we will continue and wait, same as you, and see what exactly is their decision. However, we as a shipping company, global LNG shipping company based in Qatar, we will continue to pursue business opportunities with Qatar or with international market. However, again, I think you're asking us a question that we strongly believe that QP and Qatar Gas are the right people to answer these questions.
Right. And of the fleet's contracts, you said most of it is long-term. Are there any charter renewals coming in this year, 2019?
No, we do not foresee anything that is coming up in 2019. And even if it does, that would be great news because the market is really so good.
Yeah.
So to get a higher rate. However, we do not see anything in 2019. But we foresee the market to be very tight and strong over the next 3 years, and we will try to really, as part of our growth strategy, to capture these potential opportunities and tonnage to lift product if we can. So that's it, my answer.
Perfect. Thank you for the time. Thank you, and thank you for answering the question.
We will now take a follow-up question from Bobby Sarkar from QNB Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of follow-up. Just on the LNG market dynamics, just wanted to make sure that the balance of the market that you talk about does not include this potential expansion of LNG in Qatar. And then also the order book of the 107 vessels, is that also secured by 90% secured contracts? That's question number one. And question two is just wanted to get some more details as to the reason behind the drop in your finance charges quarter over quarter. I know we had an email exchange, but I just wanted to make sure. Because on a quarterly basis, it's at the lowest point we've seen since the debt, since your debt levels hit their peak in 2010, and despite the general schedule repayments, it seems like it's a bigger than expected drop given where you see the interest rates going or where the interest rates went in the quarter. So if you could just explain. Thank you.
I will take the question, Bobby, for LNG market, and Hani will take the question about the financials. Regarding your shipping balance, no, our shipping balance does not. If you see in the page 13 of our presentation, we have a note that it does not include Qatar's LNG expansion, which is 30 million tons, and does not include also Golden Pass, which is 16 million tons per year. Because the reason of that, because this amount of LNG is expected to come online after 2024. So, this shipping balance does not include these two things. Regarding your question about order book, the majority of the order book, even more than 90%, little bit, it is fully secured for long-term charters. And there is a small amount of vessels who are coming to the market without long-term charter agreements, which we expect actually to be absorbed from the supply from the huge supplies, which I think I told you before, it's approximately 65 million tons of LNG that will come the next 3 years. So, for this reason, we believe that the market will be strong for the next two, 3 years.
Of course, it will be a little bit volatile of seasonality issues, but again, I hope I cover your question. Now I give it to Hani to respond to you, the financials.
Yeah, hi, Bobby. The main reason usually when interest rates expenses are going down for us is, as we talked about, is the main reason reschedule repayment. We had a little bit of a higher accrual on the third quarter that was done when we closed our books that maybe reflected back in 2000, reflected on 2000 in the first quarter. Usually that's why the small disturbance maybe in your mathematics to make sure that you track our interest expense. So I hope that answers your question. However, our results is mainly it was due to the actual great achievement of growth and higher profitability from our expansion of our two LNG and one FSRU, and also from the higher activities that we have seen in the shipyards. Also, please, you need to also to understand that sometimes loans is usually it is based on LIBOR plus fixed margin. So if we were able to refinance at a lower margin, that also could help us in reducing our interest expense. So there's different factors that could also help us in reducing our interest cost now or in the future. However, for the between the third quarter and fourth quarter, it's purely scheduled repayment, additional accrual that was made in Q3, and that was reversed in Q4, but that's mainly it.
Great, thank you.
We will now take the next question from Rami Jabal from AMWAL. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, it's Rami from Amwal. I have a couple of questions with regards to your presence in the market. So being one of the world's largest ship, basically, operators, where do you see, where is your majority presence around the world? Which market do you primarily focus on? And of your client base, how much is the Qatari government represents in terms of percentages?
Hello. Thank you very much for your question. Look, actually, approximately our international portfolio is approximately 15 to 20% of our fleet. We have contracts, for example, with Woodside in Australia. We have contracts with the U.S., for example, with Accelerate, the new FSRU that we have acquired. So usually, actually, it is first-class charterers from big companies, oil and gas. We have a charter also contract with Senier, with ExxonMobil, Oswells, and LPGs. Actually, we do try to do business with only first-class charterers with have very high credit ratings from Standard & Poor's. But I think you asked me something else, but
maybe he asked about the countries that we call in for delivery of the cargoes.
We'll go China, we'll go South Korea.
Wherever the charter tells us to go, we end up going.
The much,
I think we do like maybe 23 countries almost.
25 countries more.
25 countries.
But the majority, as you understand, is Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and China. Because the biggest client importer for LNG is Asian countries. But we go to every country that we have a contract and we have never missed any cargo. We are very, very efficient as a SMB company.
Okay.
I don't know if you
so want with 15%, and yeah, it comes well. 15% international business operation. Do you see that number growing in the future, taking out of your Qatari business, or you're going to rely on ship expansions to cover both?
For us, we are, and that's one of the things that we will be sharing next quarter as our roadmap, our strategy roadmap for Nakilat. We are going to defend our position as a global leader, and we will ensure that our market share continue to be maintained. And we will ensure that we capture more business internationally as we go along.
Okay. Just one follow-up question, sorry. With regards to the debt levels on the balance sheet, do you plan on continuing your reduction in borrowing, or are you looking at increasing debt in the near future now that you've dropped it by a significant amount?
You know, Rami, when we commit ourselves to any business opportunity, our economics ensure that it is risk adjusted, and to ensure that we mitigate all kind of potential adverse impact on us. So our economics always say is based on achieving rate of return that is a minimum rate of return, and part of that is to ensure that our cash flow is not impacted with the expected rate of return. Our cash flow has to really yield for us after paying all the debt or amortized over the loan period. So yes, if we will try to continue to pay our debt as we move on. If there is a new potential business opportunities that requires us to raise more debt, we will do that. However, again, it will be studied very carefully to ensure that we mitigate any potential risk or not to incur additional risk for the company. So yes, for Nakilat Inc., for instance, over the last 5 years, we have paid almost 15%, and we continue to do that. We continue to generate healthy return that allows us to pay good dividend yield to our shareholders, and allowed us also to expand our fleet size almost close to 11 vessels and one FSRU, and within an internally generated funds.
Noted. Thank you so much. Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Maya Bokir from Schroders. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question on the JVs. Looking at the numbers of the JV, TK in particular, there has been a massive a drop in the level of profitability. What's the reason for this, and is this a one-off? And also, in general, if I look only at the JV related to LNG shipping, there has been margin pressure in the last few two years particularly. Can you please explain the reason for this? That's my first question. My second question is, what was the contribution of the new FSRU vessel, and where can we see it in the financials?
Okay, thank you. I think the one for the TK, there's a one-time off item that happened to us. Back in 2017, we have disclosed our note. There was a lease arrangement that based on certain tax and financial assumption, when we had commenced the lease back in 2007. However, and that tax lease arrangement was based in the UK, and the tax authority there has been challenging this kind of arrangement, not only for Nakilat, but all for other shipping companies in the sector. Back in 2007, a lot of companies used to capitalize or use the capital lease arrangement. We've been in discussion with the HMRC, not ourselves, but our joint venture partner, since December, since 2012 or 13. We have also terminated that lease once we realized that this is something is not anymore allowed by the UK tax authority. We've been in discussion with the UK tax authority. However, we have noticed that we were not able to reach favorable conclusion with them. And so this is why we took this provision this year to clean this one-time-off lease arrangement with the tax authority, because we have to really compensate the lessor for any potential losses. I hope that I answered the TK answer. So hopefully next year we don't have to really worry about any more potential tax or exposure that could happen to us relating to this tax arrangement that happened back in 2007 or 6 when we established that company. Some of the other numbers
is it safe to say that? Is it safe to say that we can go back to the net profit margin level in the 40s for TK? Because it's completely a one-off time.
It's completely one-off time. It has been cleared. We were in discussion since 2014 with the tax authority, when we have realized that there are potentially no favorable outcome. We said we want to move on, and we have took a provision for that to settle this amount. You should not expect ever to see that things again in the near future, particularly for that tax lease. Yes, for sure. I can confirm that for you. Okay. In relation to go ahead.
No, it's okay. Continue. I just wanted to remind you of the next question.
I know what the next question. The next question was you talked about there was some sort of margin pressure over the profitability from the joint venture. As you can know, that if we look at over the last couple of years, interest rates was increasing from one, over the last 1 year. So this is what's mainly the reason, some of the pressure that came on us, that for lower profitability. However, we believe that over the next year or two, we should really start to see the margin improve, particularly when interest rate stabilizes. And we should really start to see better results from the joint venture with a better margin, hopefully, over the next couple of years. The other question, which is the last one, you said, well, you can see that I will allow you to comment so I can clarify some of the questions you have. About the accelerate, usually we have it in the ProNav and other maritime joint venture. As we said before, that going forward, we will start to really report the shipyard activities by itself, hopefully in the first quarter or second quarter of 2019. We will start to really segment that section so we can give you guys better clarity about the performance. So the AFSRU unit is basically reported under the other joint venture. The other thing I want to highlight to you, for you to think about an FSR, you think about it as a pure LNG vessel that we really invest or deploy CapEx and we generate a required rate of return.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Just a follow-up question. You mentioned interest rates as a main reason for the margin pressure. I just wanted to check these JV partnerships, the level of debt, how much of it is fixed interest and how much of it is variable. Also, on the FSRU, how many months are included in terms of contribution in the numbers?
Most of our joint ventures, you could say 18 to 80, around 80% of them is fully hedged. We have one of the joint ventures is between 25 and 50, which is Maran, that is being hedged. On the other hand, if you ask me about the question about the FSRU, it only has inside of it is only 6 months. So this year you should really see a full year the performance for the FSRU business. And the same thing for the Maran two new vessels. It only has 9 months. So this year you should also see 12 months performance.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Hala Romgani from QIC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. This is Bijoy from QIC. Thank you for the call and thank you for the presentation as well. I have a few questions. My first question is on the FSRU project. Do you have any plans to expand there? And if yes, what kind of IRR are you looking at?
In regards to the expansion of the FSRU, we have got into this business for one reason, is for us to diversify and to grow into that segment. And as we said before, on a daily basis, we not only for the FSRU and also for the LNG, we receive continuous business opportunity. However, we are the global leader and the largest LNG company, our trend, we are being very selective to ensure that we have something that is a favorable rate of return to our shareholders. Any project that we're going to get in shall always meet the minimum required rate of return that we have seen over the last year since the inception of the company. So you should always think about something, an IRR of between 11 to 15 or 11 to 14%.
Okay. And under the PRONAV and other joint venture income, do you have a contribution coming from anything other than FSRU, like which is resulting to the increase?
That segment is including it is the shipyard facility. Again, the difference between 2017 activities and profit and 2018 was very significant, and that's the main reason that you have seen the major increase or significant increase in profit over in 2018 compared to 2017. And as I said before, hopefully that we will see that kind of activities, maybe not as much of a magnitude, but as a similar kind of level of activities that's coming over the 2019.
Okay. It would be great if you can break down as to what kind of contribution you're looking at from the shipyard business.
We haven't, this is non-public information, however, as I said, I will provide you with the contribution, we will provide you with a segment reporting in the first quarter, latest by the second quarter, but I promise that I will do it in the first quarter, so you guys can have a better picture about the performance of the yard, the shipyard's facilities. You can really be able, to forecast our performance. Keep in mind that, the shipyard has helped us, and we're expecting it with that joint venture that's coming from McDermott, also to allow us to use that, to maximize the use of that facility in 2019. However, we have to still think about us as a global LNG shipping companies that really has almost 70 vessels that generate almost 90 to 95% of their income out of that that segment. That yard-to-yard facility segment is always going to be making us looking better in a way that our results will come higher than the expected. However, the majority of it comes from the LNG shipping segment. So in Q1, you should really expect segment reporting with shipyard facilities, which is the first since 2010. Hopefully that will help you to get a better picture.
Thank you. And two more questions. What would be your target debt to equity going forward? Is there anything like, do you have a target debt to equity?
As we go along. So we do not have currently any targeted debt-to-equity ratio. However, we continue to pay it on an annual basis as we secured any new asset or capacity. So if a business opportunity comes to us, we will make sure that that we secure that business and we will have the capacity to pay off the debt as per the scheduled payment plan. This is how we plan our economics, and if no new business opportunity, you should expect the debt to continuously be amortized and getting less. Last year, we paid 800 million riyal for our existing debt with the existing assets. This year, you should expect the same. And we should continue to expect that for us to pay off our debt, unless there's a really a major business opportunity or major expansion that will dictate on us to really incur debt to secure these assets.
One last question on the industry. Based on the opportunity available, what kind of ships would you like to go for? What size of ships would you acquire? Like it will be more like QMAX and QFlex, or will be smaller sized ships?
Thanks for the question. But look, there is no kind of preference or a specific size of vessels, because usually the agreement that we do is long-term and it depends on the charterer needs, because the charterers need to see where they will sell the gas. So based on where is the origin country and when the LNG will land eventually, needs to decide the size. As per market, let's say, the average size is approximately 174,000 CBM. But again, as I told you, it's a charterer decision. For us, it cares more the economics. We look project by project. If the economics makes sense, we are willing to do actually any size that the charterer decides. It's actually a call of charterer. Hopefully I cover your question.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We will now take a follow-up question from Shabir Kalawala from Al Rayan Invest. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, sorry, there is a follow-up question on Gulf LPG. If you can share some light on that, because we have seen that the revenues has fallen significantly in 2018, as well as the company JV has turned into a loss. If you can share what's happening there. Thank you.
We should mention that Nakilat actually owns only 4 very large gas carriers, which means that we have a minor exposure or LPG spot market. Nevertheless, yes. We should say that the sentiment of LPG market is improving substantially as rates have already started to move higher, driven by rising of scrapping activity and propane exports respectively. The 2018, the average rates of very large gas carriers improved approximately 22% at approximately 18,300 per day in comparison from 15,000 per day in 2017. In 2018, we saw five very large carriers that was recycled, which is the highest level of very large gas carrier tonnage removal in the past 5 years, which obviously this number plus the scrapping that maybe will intensify before the IMO 2030 regulation take place, it will help us and the LPG market will improve. I need to mention that there are 24 potential scrapping very large gas carriers that are older, more than 25 years old, which all this, if the scrapping activity activated heavily, and it will improve the LPG in the coming years. Hopefully, I cover your question.
So this JV is with Milaha, right?
Yes, with Milaha.
The other JV partner is Milaha. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Sudhaf Nal from BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had one question. Given kind of the current favorable dynamics of the energy shipping market, as you talked about in your presentation, would you expect to generate a higher return on capital or any new projects you bid for or you work on, whether that's, North Field related or outside?
Thank you. This question, now is being asked all over the world, that people think it, because the LNG shipping rate, we have seen it going up to $150,000 and $200,000 per day during 2018. For us, we believe in the long term. Where as a company, we want to secure something that is for 10 years, 15 years. So we can secure and continue to acquire additional assets and generate a great return. Yes, maybe we will generate a better rate of return, but that's going to be marginal because, as we said before, we are a shipping company. We are in it for the long term, and we are in it for to be the leader in this sector. So I can answer your question. If today the market is at 200,000 or 150,000, people will lock in for a medium to a long term at around $75,000-$80,000 per day. If you want to have one spot day, it will be maybe 150 or 200, we've seen the case in 2018. Again, I want to emphasize Nakilat is a global shipping company. It's for the long term. We like to really acquire something when the market is so hot like this, not for short-term gain of a year or a month or a spot rate. We would love to really secure a business that expands for 10 years with a decent return so we can move on, and that return will pay off for our debt, generate enough cash for paying off dividends, and we think about the next potential business acquisition. The rate could be better, yes, but 1 or 2, maybe 3% max. That's not something that we would...
That's very fair.
Okay.
That's very fair and reasonable.
Thank you. Yeah, that's how we are.
That's great. Two very quick questions just to wrap it up. One was your JV, your dividends from JVs were less than half of the level in 2017. While profitability, there's a lot of JVs, but profitability year over year improved. Can you maybe explain, was 2017 dividend an aberration?
It depends on the business itself. So and we have to think about sometimes, like for instance, a lot of the profit that we generated with Maran for the dividend, we used all the profit that was generated in that joint venture for for our expansion in 2018. So it depends on the year, whether there was sort of an expansion that is happening or not. It depends if there was one-off settlement or items such as what we have seen with TK, and that was the case. So this is why we did not pay dividend, just to clear that HMRC claim that was back in 2007 setup. We expect over the next 2019, 20, and 21, if business as usual, we should really see dividend to go to their long-term levels of stable cash flow, because our business is very stable, assuming there's no potential growth opportunity, which was the case with Maran. All the 11 vessels were financed with internal with internal funds that was generated over the last 3-4 years.
Fair enough. And then finally, you spent a little bit more than usual CapEx this year. I understand. Can you give me the breakdown of that? I understand some of that might be the FSRU, but what's the breakdown of the $205 million you spent?
Okay. 205, we have to see there's some investments that other than the FSRU, we had two LNG vessels that we are acquired with Maran.
Okay, and how much of this was the FSRU?
Think about the three vessels are the same value. Again, the FSRU, despite the fact that it's called an FSRU, the vessel itself, more or less, maybe 5-10% more. However, because this FSRU was not a brand new one, so we bought it at a cheaper price. But we can comfortably say that this was in the range of around between $185 to $200 million per vessel tag price. So think about three of them. Think about leverage of 15-20%, I mean 80-85% leverage, and think about our share, whether it's 55% with Accelerate or 40% with Maran. I think that should get you the number for 200 million spent.
Great, thank you so much. That's it for me.
We will now take our last question from Yazid Al-Turki from Ashmore. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for the call. I have two questions. I was going to ask about IRR, but you said 11-14%. Thanks. Is this roughly equivalent to the annual return? And you know, from a corporate standpoint, does this translate into your return on equity? It's been trending downwards, and as you're deleveraging, and it's now around 14%, should we hold that going forward, given your IRR targets? And then my second question is, can you maybe give us a sense of the rollover schedule of your portfolio over the next 3-4 years? How much of your portfolio would reprice, and by how much, if you can give us some guidance on that?
Okay, I can just understand. Yes, thank you. The first question is about the potential IRR rate of return between 11 and 14%. For us, we are deleveraging. I understand that. However, for us, any new business opportunity, as we said before, we look at it as itself to generate the required rate of return of between 11-14% leverage. As we deleverage, is our return on equity will increase. We believe that we will try to see more of a stable return of equity over the next 1 or 2 years, because as we deleverage, we might expect that we will incur additional debt in order for us to secure new business opportunities. So yes, our return of equity, which is now maybe roughly around 10 to 11%, that's something should really we expect to be maintained, and hopefully it might also get better as we move on for the next for the next 1 or 2 years. Remember, there's one thing that people are not really have been paying careful attention to. We, as a shipping company, we're not only here to buy ships. That's not what gives us the competitive advantage. What gives us the competitive advantage is that we have largest fleet and we start to operate them. Our capabilities and our reputation as an operator, basically what's allowing a lot of companies to come in and partnership with us, or it will allow us to really approach international customers or charterers to secure business. Currently, we have almost close to 10 of our LNG vessels from Stasco. Next year, we're expecting to move additional 7. And hopefully, with the initiatives that we have and with the as we operate more vessels, we expect our operating costs to be more optimized. And as you know, there's two elements that we can make a better profit or return of equity is that if we have a higher income or if we really able to deliver that quality service at a cheaper price for us. So we expect that return of equity from both sides, from new business opportunity and from ensuring that we continue to provide operational excellence and improving our operating cost structures going forward.
Thanks. And then the second question on the rollover schedule of your portfolio, and then how much would reprice over the coming years and by how much?
As I said, hopefully next quarter, we're going to give you our 5 years roadmap. It will be published in our annual report, and then I can really present it to you guys. Our aim as an organization is to maintain our market share, is to maintain our global leadership. If you looked at what Fortius has presented to you with the potential new expansion in the number of vessels with the LNG projects, and if you factor this one and look at what Nakilat is current market share, that should clearly give you an indication where we are currently working on to deliver and achieve. So over the next over the next 3 years, we will maintain our market share. And if you look at the numbers that we currently have and what Fortius has provided to you, think about what current Nakilat portfolio or market share. And this is what's going to be we will strive to maintain over the next 3 years. And that should give you a bulk figure of our expansion.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Samir Murad from NBK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just have one quick question regarding the dividend. You've talked a lot about the debt from debt equity, how you're going to be moving forward. What about the dividend? Can we expect to see an increase in dividend in the coming years, or would it be maintaining the current dividend level?
You know, we wish we can have a crystal ball about potential business opportunity in the future, and particularly with the current market, strong market of LNG shipping. We usually maintain some of our profits within us to reinvest it internally with the growth opportunities, which has helped us to achieve a better results for our shareholders. For dividend, As we move on, we will always review our dividend payout policy. As our profit increase, we strongly believe that we will pay back, you know, proportionately to our shareholders. The only thing is in the current market where actual LNG rate is very significant and there's a lot of demand, and if you want to really take capacity and try to grow your portfolio, I think this is the right time that you have to be very cautious about not to miss that opportunity. However, we do not foresee our dividend to be reduced unless it is really, really necessary. Mm-hmm. We're happy with this current sustainable dividend payout, and we mm-hmm. are gradually planning, as we have seen before, in, maybe in the earlier years, but now we've been growing. But we will look definitely into potentially to grow our dividend payout when we believe this is the right time to give back to our shareholders. However, all the money that is maintained, we will always look for a very lucrative, well-payoff investment opportunities with the current market to recapture these potential opportunities.
Thank you so much.
There are no further questions in the queue. I'd like to turn the conference back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Hani, and thank you, Mr. Fotios, very much for a very informative call. I'd like to leave you with your closing remarks, if you'd like.
I would like to thank you all for attending our conference call. Thank you very much. It was very informative. All your questions will be well noted, and we will take it also and discuss it with our CEO to ensure that all your comments are well heard. Also, hopefully, next quarter conference call, there's two things that we're going to introduce. Maybe this one was the nice thing about it. We do co-hosting. Next one will make it more interesting. We will do our five-year strategy roadmap. So basically, you understand where we're heading and what we're trying to achieve. So at least you can also measure us in every conference call. And also, I would like to let you know that first quarter, we will try our best to start our segment reporting to make it easier and more transparent for you to really analyze our company. That's all from my end. But yes.
We are very happy for your interest, guys, for all these questions. And as Hani said, we'll communicate everything to the top management. Thank you so much that for your questions, for your attendance, for everything. That's it from us.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.